Tommy was a third grader. And like all third graders, he was full of mischief, energy, and grass-stained knees. Like all third graders, he wanted to be liked. He wanted to be accepted. He wanted to feel like he could do things better than most of the other kids. And he was kind of hoping that one of those things he could do especially good was sports. Because if you're good at sports, then you're going to be popular. Tommy was headed to school, and on that day, the teacher was going to teach them about citizenship. And so Tommy was going in to learn what citizenship was all about. And so the teacher taught them that citizenship was one's response to being a citizen. That it was the way that in terms of you accepting your being part of being included, being part of a group, a nation, a city, that you belonged. And that within that belonging, they had a responsibility to protect you. And in response to that acceptance and protection, that you would give your loyalty and allegiance. And the teacher went on to say how that it didn't matter what city or county or state or country or continent that you belonged to, that for all the citizens of the world, there was a common bond. Because we'd all come from the same origin. And within this, the teacher went on to say how that all people share in common certain things. This desire to be loved, to be accepted, to be able to strive for what you would find success, and to achieve peace. And so the teacher was rather pleased with her lesson on citizenship, and how that Tommy and all of the other students knew that they were a citizen of the earth. As Tommy got older, things began to become more difficult. Things weren't as easy or as simple as they used to be. Sure, some of the kids liked him, but it wasn't like it was in grade school, where every student gave you a Valentine and at least pretended to like you. But now there were those that didn't like Tommy. And in fact, they bullied him and pushed him around. And he just had that desire within him that he wishes he could just take them and smash them in the face. But he couldn't. They were bigger. They were stronger. And they weren't afraid. Tommy wished he wasn't afraid. As he proceeded through school, you know, Tommy was good enough. He made the team. But the only glory he ever really had was with his friends out at the park. Because on the team, he usually, except for just a very few moments, sat on the bench. Tommy worked hard in school. He studied. But his grades just weren't good enough that he could get a scholarship. And so he wasn't going to get any help when he went to college. Now, Tommy, in college, he had some good times. He had some moments worth remembering. Changed his major a few times. Once was that unfortunate incident of trying to get close to a co-ed that he was convinced was his destiny. He eventually finished college with an accounting degree, not something he really wanted. And as the companies came to the campus to interview for filling positions within their firms, Tommy knew he would not be widely sought after. He'd had a girlfriend for a while, and he was getting ready to finish up college, and he just kind of figured he didn't want to be alone. So he asked her to marry him. Fortunately, as the wedding plans were being made, Tommy landed a job. After several years, Tommy was in his job, and he absolutely hated it. He had a small child now, and his wife told him that she'd found somebody else, and that she wanted a divorce. On top of it, his car's transmission that had been weak for some time was no longer weak. It was utterly and completely destroyed. So to top it all off, Tommy's leaving work, and who does he run into? Greg. Yeah, you know the Greg. He was the star athlete. He was the most popular kid in school. He's the one who picked on Tommy. And Tommy noticed that Greg noticed him and was coming up to talk to him. And Greg's coming up like this friendly guy, and he comes up and he says, "Sorry, not walking backwards good today." That was bonus. That wasn't part of the... Can we break for a commercial? So Tommy is seeing that Greg is got his attention. And Greg's coming up to him all fired up like, "Hey, buddy, I haven't seen you in a long time." Kind of look in his face. And Tommy's taken back. He's confused. He's wondering what in the world is going on here. And Greg says, "Hey, Tommy, you remember when?" And just then Tommy is flinching, expecting that slug in the shoulder. And how he's going to call him, "Yeah, remember when I told you what a loser you were?" And instead, Greg stops him. And I mean, you know, within this appearance, that what Tommy is processing in his brain, he takes one look at Greg and it's like he is still, looks great. He's physically fit. He's obviously dressed nice, probably drives an expensive car, and is a whole lot more successful than Tommy. So Tommy was rather taken back when Greg says, "I'm glad I ran into you. Because I just want to tell you, I was a jerk." Tommy's wondering what shoe's going to fall next. Greg continues, and he tells him, "You know, when I was in high school, I thought I was pretty cool and I could get away with anything. And so I know I treated you horrible. He says, I just want to ask your forgiveness." Tommy is just blown away. He's going, "Who is this guy? This isn't the guy I knew in high school." And Greg says, "You know, there's been a dramatic change in my life when I came to know Jesus as my own Savior. And he says, so what I'd really like, Tommy, is for you to forgive me. And maybe we could go grab some grub. Tommy knew his wife wouldn't care. So he gladly, heartily went off to join Greg for dinner. And as he does, he's going wondering what in the world is going on here with Greg, because this is obviously something that is way outside the box of where this guy was. He wasn't sure exactly what had happened, but there was a dramatic change in Greg. And Tommy had to find out what it was. In the midst of Greg sharing his life with Tommy, Tommy also shared with Greg how mediocre and disappointing his own life was. Well, Greg pulls out his Bible and he begins to share with him the things he knows about Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we see in this contrast between Greg and Tommy at this point is some verses I want to share with you. And for those of you that are trying to follow along with the outline in the Bible, no, I'm not starting at point number one right now. But we are going to look at the verses that are there. As what we see, in, let us begin with Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. And I'm sorry, we're going to jump around here fairly quick. But that's okay. It's just good exercise. Keeps your fingers warm so that we won't need Jane to wear gloves. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Okay, so we were this alien, this stranger, outside, away from God, not part of his family, not part of his household, outside of it. If you would, jump on over to 1 Peter, in which we will be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. What a contrast between darkness and light. We can see also in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just turn over a couple pages there to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Within this, we can see within these verses that it is describing the change that is in every single believer in Jesus Christ. We can understand completely, we still live in this world. This is still our physical residence. We will get mail addressed to an address because that's where our home is. We may even carry a passport that says we're a citizen of the United States and we're free to travel abroad if we get permission. But with what God is telling us, there's a higher, there's a better kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom of which everyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ is now a citizen. That is where they truly live. That is where their citizenship really resides. So that from now on, we are going to be strangers and aliens from the way that others look at life, for what they enjoy, for what they find pleasure in. Ours is going to be seeking a higher calling. And so as we look at these verses, while we're still here on earth, we have to understand that our name is on the roll. We have a passport from heaven as we move through this life. Our citizenship and therefore our protection, our security is coming from one above. Within this, it certainly is terrific that we can enjoy this kind of a relationship with God and would desire to be a good citizen within this unbelievable kingdom we have now been placed, whose rules, whose support, and whose leadership stand in absolute contrast to that which is in the world. What tremendous benefits this new kingdom has to offer. The call for us is to live according to it, according to the power that is now at our disposal, according to the love of the ruler of this kingdom, who has lavished upon us so that we will have no other choice but be compelled to share it with others. What happened to Tommy? Did he find another job? Did he walk with Jesus in such a way that the Lord brought his wife back together with him? Was Tommy in a position that the rest of the story turned out just fine? I'm here to say this morning that the rest of that story is yet to be written. Because each one of us is Tommy in this story. It does not matter whether you're in third grade, high school, college, or an adult. We all have this confrontation of this calling from heaven in which it says, come, be a part of my kingdom. The Lord has given that call to each one of us. Most of us have responded and now have the call on our life to live as a good citizen. Some of us have not yet responded. And so this becomes a rather critical moment in your lives. Are you here by chance? Are you hearing this by some type of, well, that's just the way it is? Or is this the call of the Holy Spirit of God on your very heart and life saying, wow, there is a membership. There is a citizenship in heaven. And I can get that passport by faith and trust in Jesus alone. As we think about writing this story, that we have, who have been called to this kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, a heavenly kingdom, whose goals are not popularity, are not success as the world would define it, but success in discovering the love of Christ that will reach inside us and overflow to everyone around us. Now, within this, as we are looking at a story about citizenship this morning, we need to live out that which God has given us. Not because there's anyone standing over us telling us this is what we must do, or somehow or another God's going to be disappointed. We do it because of the benefits we have so thrill our hearts. We have no other recourse but to try to share the blessings of this kingdom with others. Living out in such a way that our lives are a defiance to the culture around us. A world that is calling us to go with the flow. God is calling us to do another way. In your story, how does Tommy do? Is he a good citizen of heaven? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have called us into this citizenship that is so outside ourselves, within a spiritual kingdom. It is so easy to be distracted, to be enticed by the promises of popularity, fame, fortune in this world, in which we find our hopes and dreams crashed upon the rocks. Lord, there is only one that we can truly hope, that we know is secure on every word that has ever been spoken, and that is you and you alone. As we think about our role, our place on this planet Earth, Lord, you did not save us so that we could imitate the earth. You saved us that we could imitate you and therefore be valuable to your work and your kingdom. Lord, deal in us with those things that we find so difficult to surrender to you. Help us to be honest with ourselves, with our families, with our church family, that we can bring ourselves to the point of setting aside those things that belong to the old kingdom, to embrace that contrast, that new way of living for Jesus. Be with us as we prepare our hearts for communion, that we are joined with you in spirit, that we are leaning upon you. We are willing to accept your word and submit to your spirit. We pray in Christ's name.